Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We give God praise on tonight. We thank God for you tonight. We thank God for the opportunity to come to you with the word of God. We thank God, hallelujah, that we can come together and break the bread of the word. And thank God that he's going to enlarge our understanding in the word of God. We thank him for every opportunity to grow. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And we thank God for Bible study. We thank God for the word of God as we get into the lesson on tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We believe by faith that we will grow spiritually in understanding of your word. Now, Lord, use me as your servant to share the word of God as you have placed in my heart and spirit on today. We thank you for breakthroughs. We thank you for miracles. We thank you in the name of Jesus for revelation from your Logos word. We know that with two or more gathered in your name, you are here. So breathe on this lesson tonight. You get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's start off tonight. We are going to jump around, if that's my intent, quite a bit, but we still are pretty much, I like to travel through the Old and New Testament alike, because the Bible says that the Old and New Testament are type and shadow of things to come. And some things that we are experiencing, amen, we can glean from what they did and learn some of the patterns and some of the processes, some of the principles that they applied to get the manifestation of God miracles into their life. And this is where I want to start in John chapter number 14, segueing a little from the word that we preached on Sunday, what's coming is greater. I talked from the book of Acts when they were sitting in the upper room, and God, Jesus, before he ascended, gave them a promise of sending them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, sending them another, amen, part of the triune that would help them as they went forward to minister what Jesus taught them they had to do to disciple the people of God. Bible says that he told them to go into all the world preaching and teaching and making disciples of all men, but they needed the Holy Spirit to do that. So he kept his promise to them. But let's see in John chapter 14 what I believe kept them in that upper room, because if we, you know, some people say it was the 12 that saw the miracles. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They saw blinded eyes open. They saw Jesus feed 5,000 men and women, obviously more than 5,000, but it was still 5,000 men with two fish and five loaves of bread. So they saw miracle after miracle, speaking of the 12 disciples that walked with Jesus and was close with him, and he taught them privately for 3.5 years. But the Bible says in the upper room in the book of Acts, it was 120 souls. So that was not every disciple walking with Jesus during his earthly ministry. And God gave me a revelation on that, is that he said, remember what he said to Thomas when Thomas came in after he appeared to the disciples and Thomas was not there? And he said, I'm not going to believe until I see it for myself. And Jesus appeared and he said to Thomas, here are the holes in my hands and here are the nails in my feet. Put your hand there. And our generation called him Doubting Thomas. Glory be to God. Because Jesus then said, blessed are you because you saw and you believe. And then Jesus went on to tell the apostle, the disciple Thomas, he said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Oh, my God. And that's you and I. That makes up the multitude of those who were in the upper room. They just believed the testimonies. Amen, somebody. They believed the testimony of the 12 that were eyewitnesses of what Jesus did. And this is why we got to share our testimony, because you never know who God is going to use to hear your story and give their life over to Christ. Come into the church. Try to live another life that's kingdom-minded. Try to turn from this world and come over on the kingdom side. You never know how your story is going to help somebody else. That's why I love, you know, my wife's books. We're going to a book fair this weekend, and prayerfully we'll sell a lot of books. But a lot of her personal story is tapered throughout many of her books, some of her testimony, some of what she went through, and then some things that God has given her just to be a blessing to those that read that book and may give their life to Christ. My Victory Over Cancer book, amen, somebody, hallelujah, is what I went through in the natural. But there's so much Jesus in that book, and I did that purposely. But let's look at John chapter 14, and let's see what they heard from Jesus to allow them to wait in that upper room day after day after day until Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit invaded their lives. John chapter 14, verse number 10, I mean verse number 11, John chapter 14, verse number 11, this is when Jesus is alive. Listen to what he said to them. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He was telling them, if you don't believe that, believe in the miracles that you saw. Verse number 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray for the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you and with you forever. That is one thing that I believe that gave them that stay in power. Amen, somebody. Because they knew the words of Jesus, that his words would not come back void, but it will accomplish what he sent it to do. Amen. So when Jesus told them that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is going to be in you forever, they believed him. And that's why they waited and waited. And then as they went forward, we talked about the lame man in Acts chapter 3. They said, silver and gold we have not, but in the name of Jesus. This is where they got that from. He said, if you ask me anything, ask the Father anything in my name, he's going to do it. So Peter and John, as they went up to pray, they prayed for that paralyzed man, and guess what? The name of Jesus worked. Oh, glory. Oh, my God. My God. So on Sunday, I spoke, what's coming is greater, but tonight I want to talk about it's time for increase. It's time for increase. I'm going to share that. We're gonna mainly look at the judge. There was a female judge named Deborah, and there's some powerful insights as we look at Judges chapter 4. Deborah was a judge. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but we're going to Deborah in Judges chapter 4 momentarily. But before I go there, I'm going to go one more place, and that is Psalm 113. But when I talk about it's time for increase, the life of Deborah and the life of some other people that we will look at tonight, we will see how God increased their lives. And I believe that you're in a season where God is going to increase you. Amen. Some people need healing in their bodies. Some people need an increase in income. And I'm talking about time for increase. You're going to get promoted on your job and get more responsibility. Somebody's about to get more land and property. A better is coming. We shared that on Sunday. A better car, a better apartment, a better job. These are all areas of increase in the natural. And then we're going to look at some spiritual characteristics of how we can increase in the spiritual. Because God said in the Psalm, chapter 115, I'm going to increase you and your children more and more. Amen. And that's what's going on in Psalm chapter 113, which is what I'm going to read right now. It's only 9 verses, Psalm 113. But we're going to see the heart and mind of God to a degree as we read these few verses, because he wants to increase us. That is the heart and mind of God, for us not to stay stagnant, but God wants to increase us. If you are already a blessed man or woman, God wants to give you more. Amen. If you're struggling and you're in a low place, God wants to lift you up out of that low place. Glory be to God. If you're in a hard place and you know, maybe it's something that you don't want to be in, God wants to remove it. And we're going to look at these scriptures tonight to encourage our hearts that it is time for us to grow and increase and multiply. Psalm number 113 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise you all the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the earth. Time for increase is these last three verses, and I'm going to share thoughts on them briefly. Verse 7 says, he raised up the poor out of the dust, and he lifted needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princes. God wants to put you with some important people. Even with the princes of his people, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. The first 6 verses of that psalm tells you and I that praise is always in order. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Praise is always in order. He said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And as you are waiting for a breakthrough, waiting on a miracle, as you are waiting for God to do what he said he's going to do in your life, when you praise him, God gave me this thought on the way home. He says, son, praise takes your mind off of time. Praise takes our mind off of time. And when you're praising God, when you're enjoying God, when you're worshiping God, you're not, if you ever waited for a train or a bus and you're looking at your watch, if that train or that bus is late, and that time seems forever. Amen, somebody. It looks like you're waiting forever. Pastor and I and Caleb went to Florida this year in the month of June for the 4th of July holiday, and we flew Spirit Airlines, and we went to Florida. It was a wonderful flight. But coming back, our flight was supposed to leave roughly around 8 o'clock at night. We had 3 or 4 delays, and the flight back to New Jersey eventually took off a little after midnight. So that's a little over 4-hour delay. And time seemed like, it was forever. But when you're taking a plane, you don't mind. Amen, somebody. You don't mind those kinds of delays because you know God is at work. And we got back home safely. But delay does not mean deny. Oh, my God. We got back home safely. We had to wait and wait and wait in that airport. It was over a 4-hour delay, but we thank God we took off and landed safely. Amen, somebody. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Don't get impatient. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So when we're waiting on God, God has a set time for us to be blessed and for us to receive that increase that we're talking about tonight. Now let's look at Deborah, and I'm going to really get into this. Judges chapter number 4. Judges chapter number 4. The book of Judges is right after Joshua. And after Joshua died, if you read at the end of Joshua and the beginning of Judges, the Bible says that after Joshua died, that generation, the Joshua generation, the children and the grandchildren of those that went into the promised land began to move away from the decrees and the statutes and the commandments of God. And the Bible says they began to do what was right in their own sight. And God began to let them just go back into captivity, because we cannot disobey God and expect God is not going to allow certain consequences to happen. But that was the pattern back in the Old Testament. And God would raise up judges like Samson and Gideon. And we're going to look at Deborah here in Judges chapter 4. And they would be somewhat of a deliverer. They would be handed over into captivity for their disobedience to God. And then God would raise up a judge, and that judge would show them how to get out of that captivity. And they would defeat their enemy, and they would just get back to worshiping God. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin king Canaan that reigned in Hazar, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harabeth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. For 20 years they were in captivity. Verses number 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebaoth, she judged Israel at that time. Verse 5. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. That's powerful. They came to Deborah to deliver them out of the captivity for 20 years. Now look at what these words mean. I hope you have a pen and paper. Glory be to God. This is going to bless you because it blessed me. The Bible says Deborah, the prophetess, they went to her for help because they were in captivity. They went to Ramah. This is where she was living. Now, Ramah, the word Ramah, R-A-M-A-H, guess what the meaning of Ramah is? Height or high place. Oh, my God. Height or high place. Another meaning for the word is exalted. Another meaning for the word Ramah is lifted. And I speak into somebody's life tonight, and I'm speaking into my own life tonight, that God is going to put us in a high place. God is going to heighten us. God is about to exalt us. God is going to lift you and I. Oh, glory, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ramah. Deborah was in a high place. This was an ancient city in the Old Testament in Israel, outside of Jerusalem. Ramah, it was powerful. And then after Ramah, the word Bethel, it said Ramah and Bethel. Ramah and Bethel. So after the high place, Deborah was in a high place. She was a judge. She was a prophetess. But the word Bethel, oh, glory be to God. Write Ramah and then write Bethel. Ramah means high place. The word Bethel means this, house of God. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I'm about to pop. I'm about to run. I'm about to shout. house of Lord. These are representations of the New Testament. These are the things that are symbols of our faith today. That's why in the name of Jesus, do all you can do to stay in the house of God. Do all you can do to get the church. Do all you can do to maintain God's house of prayer, God's house of worship. Bethel means house of God. Ramah means high place. And thirdly, Ephraim. Oh, this is going to bless you good. This is going to bless you good. The word Ephraim means fruitful. Glory be to God. Fruitful, to be fruitful. Y'all, oh my God, the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, you will bear much fruit if you abide in me and my word abide in you. I hope you're receiving this by faith. You will bear much fruit. I got some fruit bearers on the line tonight. And the Bible says our fruit will remain. We don't stay connected to the vine. We're going to bear much fruit. The Bible says, when I looked at it further, it said Deborah was doubly blessed. Oh, she was doubly blessed, Pastor, because she was a prophetess and she was a leader. Are y'all hearing God on tonight? She was a prophetess, meaning the spiritual, and she was a leader, meaning in the kingdom. She was a leader, a king, a leader. She was in the natural, yet she was a prophetess, prophesying, doing what thus said the Lord. Are you hearing God on tonight? Sometimes the kings have to come to the prophets to get a word from God, but Deborah was doubly blessed. Deborah was doubly fruitful. And that's for somebody tonight. I pray you say, Pastor, I receive it for my life. It's time for me to increase. It's time for me to get double. It's time for me to multiply. It's time for me to get greater, to get better, to get more in the name of Jesus. Ramah, a high place, Bethel, the house of God, and Ephraim, be fruitful. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. And a long story short, her and the prophet Barak, she prophesied to him. She said, listen, God told me, God gave me a word for you, prophet, that God is going to deliver his people through a woman. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. See, we talk about woman's liberation and we talk about woman's rights. But this was a prophetess. She got the word directly from God. That even though it was in the Old Testament, Deborah was the only female judge ever. But guess what? God told her, I'm going to deliver my people through you, a female, through you, a woman. And she had to tell Barak that because he was kind of arrogant. He was kind of bold. He said, I'm not going up unless you go up with me. I'm not going to do this unless you speak into my life. I'm not going to do this or that. So she had to say, you're not going to get the credit for this battle. God said to me, Deborah, I'm going to deliver my children through you. And that's what happened in Judges chapter number 4. She was doubly blessed. And God wants to do that in your life and in my life. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's look at another person that got tremendously blessed. They got tremendously increased, and they did not expect it. They did not see this coming. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Sometimes you got to expect the unexpected. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes you and I have to expect the unexpected. We're in a day, I've seen, you know, I watch a lot of Christian television, and in this particular year, this particular decade, I've never seen so many transference of mega churches into people that did not grow that mega church. Are you hearing God? God is no respecter of persons. I'm not telling you to think on that scale or think on that level, but whatever your big is, whatever your greater looks like, whatever would be something heightened or in a high place or a greater for you, God is saying, think bigger, think more, think greater, because God wants to do that. He will do exceeding and abundantly, Ephesians 3:20, above all that you and I could think, ask, or imagine. And we've seen some people been handed over mega churches, and it's just a beautiful thing. Even some smaller ministries have been noted, and they just went to a particular person that was not part of that ministry at all, and we want you to cover this flock. We want you to lead this flock. You never know what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. Amen. That's what we said on Sunday. When the wind blow, it blow our hair away, it blow our curtains, it blow the things that it needs to blow, but nobody knows where the wind came from, and nobody knows where it's going. And when that baby is formed in the womb, the Bible says we don't understand how it's formed, and that's what God is saying to us tonight. Don't try to figure me out when I already worked it out. Oh, my God. God said, don't try to figure me out. Just walk by faith, and you're going to step right in it. Keep walking forward by faith, and you're going to step right in it. Because we're going to look at Mephibosheth tonight, and he had developed a certain mindset. He was the grandson of King Saul. He was the son of Jonathan, David's covenant partner. So he was supposed to be a king. Mephibosheth one day was supposed to inherit the kingdom. He was in the bloodline of a king. And we're going to see his mindset here, that he didn't expect this blessing that was coming his way. But for Mephibosheth, it was his time for increase. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, are you Ziba? And he said, your servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show kindness of God to him? And Ziba said unto him, king, Jonathan had a son, which is lame in both of his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. I'm going to keep reading in verse number 6, but write that word Lodabar down tonight if you're taking notes, because Lodabar means a low place. Ramah, or Rama, as we read in Judges chapter 4, is a high place. Lodabar, this place where Mephibosheth ended up after the war between Saul and David, he was in a low place named Lodabar. But God's about to do something mighty in his life. Verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, your servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, that's his father, your father's sake, and will restore, oh my God, help me, Holy Ghost, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul, your father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. But watch his mindset in verse number 8. This is how he was thinking. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? if that's not a defeated mindset. But God is about to raise him up. God is about to do something mighty in his life. Look at verse number 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all the house. Verse number 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame, paralyzed in both of his feet. Your condition does not matter to God. God will use you. God will raise you. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your level of education. It does not matter your pedigree. God will use you. God will multiply you. God will give you riches in gold and silver. Glory be to God. God will allow his blessings to find you. God will allow his favor to find you. God, grace is sufficient for you on tonight. He was lame in both of his feet. He could not walk. Glory be to God. He saw himself as a dead dog, a low person. And God met him through the grace and kindness of King David. And the Bible says, all the days of Mephibosheth's life, he ate at the king's table. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God wants to do that for you, and God wants to do that for me. So when it's time to increase, we got to grab hold of it. We got to take hold of it. We can't let it get by us. Glory be to God. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. You're working your faith, and God is going to honor that. And if you're not working your faith, God is saying right now, dust off the dream. Get the vision board back out. Start getting back at that keyboard. Get back in the studio. Start allowing yourself to dream again. Start allowing yourself to shake loose from depression or heaviness or weightiness. Life don't have to be perfect, but God will bless your effort. Oh, my God. God will bless your determination to get out of whatever it is you need to get out of. Because we're about to look at right now, when it's your time, it's just your time. And when it's your turn, it's just your turn. And I'm just sensing in my spirit so strongly tonight, in this 10th month of 2019, somebody came into this year with resolutions. You came into this year with dreams and aspirations. You came into this year wanting certain things to transfer and transpire, and it has not happened yet. But don't give up. Oh, my God, help me, Holy Ghost. Don't give up on that dream. Don't give up on that goal. If you want to go back to school, keep that alive. If you want to start your own business, keep the dream alive. If you want to launch out and do something great with your life, don't let the devil play with your mind saying, what's the use? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Far too many Christians, maybe I'm not speaking to you tonight, but far too many Christians, sometimes they stop coming to church. They stop praying. They stop praising. They stop believing God. And the enemy gets in because the enemy wants us to be carnally minded. The enemy wants us to have a form of godliness. The enemy wants us to look at the things in the natural. But God says, no, I need you to stay in the spirit. Glory be to God. And that's not easy to do. That's why it's so important to go to church. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. That's why it's so important to pray. Because to stay in the spirit is not easy. You know, we're in a day where a lot of people are going through a lot of different things. and the weightiness and the heaviness. That's why he gave us Isaiah 61 and in Luke chapter number 4. He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll give you praise for that spirit of heaviness. I'll give you joy for that spirit of weightiness. I'm going to give you exchange. I'm going to give you something in place of that depression. I'm going to give you the joy of the Lord, and that's going to be your strength. When I was on my mother's floor, even when I was unemployed, even when I went through those hard seasons in my younger life, God always had a plan. And if you stick to the plan, before I met my wife, before now I'm approaching those years where I'm looking at my pension, I'm looking at, because some people that I work with and started with, they're retiring. They're getting their packages. They're putting in their 401ks. They're getting their pensions together, and they're walking out the door. And I'm seeing year after year, some people that I work with for decades, now they're in transitioning. They're going into that season, and I'm closer to that season than I've ever been. But God is saying, for those of you who are younger, you're in your 20s, you're in your teen years, you're in your 30s or your 40s, even your 50s, God is saying, reinvent yourself. Go ahead and do something different. Do something differently. Sometimes, you know, we have so much anointing, so much ability. This is why the Holy Ghost comes into our life, that when we're down, the Comforter will show us what to do. When we're down, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Even if you got trouble in your home, you know, sometimes as a parent, and that's why I love the fact that when I read that Psalm 113, it said you're going to be a fruitful, joyful mother. And if you were somebody who was barren, it said you're going to be a mother that has joy. And you're going to be a father that has joy. And God is saying to every parent tonight, it's not easy the days in which we're living to parent. It's not easy the days in which we're living to stay happily married. It's not easy if you're an entrepreneur to keep your business afloat. But the Bible says, glory be to his name, all things are possible for us who believe. Amen. If you believe, all things are possible. When he came to Mary, she was a virgin. She's like, how is this going to happen? I've never known a man. And the Holy Ghost, the angel Gabriel said to her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and overtake you, and you're going to conceive. And the Holy One is going to be birthed out of you. And Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. And that's what God is saying to you and I tonight. Glory be to God. He wants us just to believe the Bible. That's why, you know, when you get a prophetic word, I believe that by faith. I'm grabbing hold of that by faith. That's why I love my wife. You know, she's a prophet, and she operates out of the office of the prophet. And we got to understand, when we get that prophetic word, and they're speaking from the mouth of God, they're speaking from the voice of God, they're speaking from the throne room of grace, and they hear God. And I receive it by faith when she says, you know, me and my wife have sometimes private conversations, and she tells me about certain seasons and certain things that God is going to do in my life. And I receive it because I know she hears from God. Amen. And sometimes I don't see everything. I don't know everything. But God allows certain people to speak into our lives. God allows certain covenant connections where we can encourage one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Amen. So every now and again, when we're weak in faith, when we're weak in spirit, when we're low on energy, we need somebody else to come alongside us and to speak into our lives. Amen. Let's look at, because we're talking tonight about it's time to increase. My wife preached this at a conference she taught at in the city of Elizabeth, and then she kind of segued into it in one of her sermons at New Creation. But I want to look at it again because God told me to look at it again, because everything I just noted up now was natural blessings, natural increase. You're going to get more land. You're going to get more money. You're going to get promoted. Your business is going to thrive. You're going to get a better house, a better apartment, a greater opportunity. Those are natural things. Now we're going to look at some spiritual things and some godly characteristics that we need to add to our lives as well. So when I'm talking about it's time for increase, these are also areas we have to increase in. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Yes, this is the Peter that walked with Jesus. This is Simon Peter. When he came and his brother Andrew brought him to Jesus, he said, Simon, your name going to be Peter. And you're going to be like a rock, a stone. So I actually love 1 and 2 Peter. I really do. Every now and again, I go to these two books because Peter, even the way he writes, I can just relate to his language a little better than some of the other Bible books. He just kind of makes it plain. Amen. Amen, somebody. And I love the way Peter writes these two letters to the church. And then 2 Peter, this is his second letter, his second epistle. He's writing to the church, and he says this, 2 Peter, let's look at, I don't want to read too much of it. Starting at verse 2, yeah, let's start at verse 2, because I want you to get an idea of his heart as he writes this to us. And we're talking about adding these things to our life, these godly characteristics, these spiritual characteristics, just like the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians. Here's some other things that we noted here that it's time to increase also in these areas. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Watch how we get it, church. Watch how we get it, people of God. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of who? Of God. So what you're doing tonight, coming to Bible study, knowing that God has all the answers. That's why he's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time. And he's omnipotent. That means he's an all-powerful God. All power belongs to God. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to the glory and virtue. Verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's what I'm talking about tonight. There are some promises that I believe that's supposed to happen now in this season in our lives. Those promises are not just going to be in our lives till we meet Jesus, but those promises are supposed to produce in our lives. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, these are the things I wanted to get to this list. Add to your faith virtue. Bible says the just shall live by faith. When you go to church, it's by faith. When you believe the Bible, it's by faith. When you got saved, it was by faith through grace. Everything that we do as believers is through faith. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I had faith that God will hit. Oh, my soul. Oh, Kerebo Shata. Glory be to God. Every time I think of where I was 2-3 years ago, I get excited. I get joy in my spirit. I get happy about being in the land of the living. Do I got an amen on the line? Maybe you did not have cancer, but you know God spared you from something. Maybe you had major surgery. You know God spared you from something. Maybe you survived a divorce. You know God spared you from something. Maybe, glory be to God, you lost your house through foreclosure. God spared you from something. Maybe you lost a great job and your increase decreased. Your income decreased tremendously, but you did not lose your mind, although you lost some money. God did something mighty in your life. He took the cancer out of my body. It did not kill me. It could not kill me. Oh, I'm praising my God right now. That was my season to increase. God gave me my health back. God gave me my praise back. God gave me my joy back. And he discharged me from that hospital. Are you hearing God on tonight? Wherever you are, God will deliver you in the name of Jesus. And I'll never forget, I came to church with a bag on my hip. I came to church with a port in my chest. I came to church with the chemotherapy pump on my side. With those three things foreign to my body, I pressed my way to the house of God because I knew my wife had a word. I knew I needed to hear the preach word. I knew I needed the saints to pray for me. I knew I needed to be around the body of believers. Now, oh, glory be to God. Now that I'm back on my feet, I want to share what blessed me, what got me out, what got me through, what brought me over. Amen, somebody. I ain't telling you something I heard. This is what I've been through, and this is what I know. God will deliver you. God will free you. God will bless you. God will set you free. God will do a new thing in your life. So it is time for you to increase. It is time for you to multiply. It is time for you to grow. It is time for you to expand. It is time for you, amen, to be promoted. Because God is no respecter of persons. So our faith is a big part of who we are. It's a huge part of who we are. In Mark chapter number 2, there's a paralyzed man laying on a bed, and four of his friends brought him to Jesus. There was no place to get into the house, no way to get into the house because the crowd was blocking the door. They went up to the roof, and they cut a hole in the roof. They ripped the roof off of the house. They lowered the man down on the mat who was paralyzed, who could not walk. Glory be to God. And the Bible says, Mark chapter number 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he forgave the man for all of his sins. He told him to take up his mat and walk, and a miracle was manifested. So our faith is everything. That's why when the enemy try to play with your mind, and the enemy try to put you in a low place that, you know, you're suffering, you're in pain, want you to feel sorry for yourself. Trust me, I've been there. When I was diagnosed, the enemy came in like a flood, told me to feel sorry for myself, told me to have a big old pity party. Why did this happen to Anthony? Why did this happen to me? I've been faithful to you, God, and the enemy tried to lie to me like sometimes he tries to lie to you. But as you add to your faith, he says, add virtue. Pastor say that's moral living. That's moral living. Virtue. Holiness. Goodness. What is it, Pastor? Moral goodness. Pastor, help me out tonight. Moral goodness is virtue. So we got to be good. We got to be morally right. We have to live holy. We got to live righteously. We got to live for God. And then it says to your virtue, add knowledge. What you're doing tonight, you're in Bible study. You're learning these scriptures from Judges and Peter and Psalm and 2 Samuel. You're increasing your biblical knowledge. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, rightly divided in the word of truth. And you're growing in your knowledge. And then it says to your knowledge, temperance. Temperance. That word means self-control. We can't control our anger. We can't control our temper. We can't control our fear. We can't control the things that allow us to procrastinate. We can control sometimes the things that try to remind us of the past. We can control sometimes when we don't want to forgive, that unforgiving heart. We can control it because the Bible says, as you add to your knowledge temperance, you're adding to your knowledge self-control. And then with that temperance, it said add patience. So when we add patience, we have the ability to wait. We have the ability to endure. We have the ability to hang in there. We have the ability to hold on until our change comes. And then to patience, godliness. That simply means in the world in like we're, in the world in which we're living, let people see God in you. I shared that scripture on Sunday. I think Deacon Carmen read it from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. It said, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And it goes on to say, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we're doing that godliness thing, our light is shining. And people are saying, I want to know your God. Amen. Your God is being glorified. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. Let's try to be kind to all people. And then brotherly kindness, charity, my Bible says, because I'm reading from the King James Version, but we all know that word charity means love. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. I pray this is blessing somebody tonight. God really wants to bless us. God really wants to bless us. And sometimes, let's see this reality right here, and I'm going to close out here in Mark chapter 4. Here's a parable that Jesus shared with the disciples. And he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. Because sometimes when we go to church, when we start activating our faith and stepping out on faith, and things don't happen as fast as we want them to happen, or sometimes we're believing God for a family member to get their act together, to get right with God, and it's not happening as fast as we want it to happen. Or sometimes in the natural, we're believing God for something, and it's just not happening as fast as we want it to happen. He kind of gives us an insight here in Mark chapter number 4 of how things sometimes take time and take a process of happening. And in Mark chapter number 4, let's start at verse number 13. And I'm going to close here tonight because he's telling me to close here in Mark chapter 4, talking about it's time for increase. Mark chapter number 4 says this. For this, 13. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? In other words, he shared some things with them at the beginning of Mark chapter 4. Now he's about to explain everything that he shared with them and what they mean. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Remember earlier, I'm not saying remember earlier, but let me just paraphrase. Earlier in the chapter, he says, some seeds, meaning the word of God, he was referring to the word of God, some seeds fall on stony ground, and the birds come immediately and eat up all the seed because they were just right there in the open. So the birds came and ate the seed immediately. It didn't have time to grow anything. And he said, those birds are like Satan. They represent Satan, who comes sometimes immediately. Immediately, when you bring a friend to church, even when you first came to church, when I first came to church, I went back to my job, and I told them I'm going to church now. And then I went back to my job shortly after that and said I got saved. And they tried to tell me, Aunt, that's just a phase. Aunt Tone, you ain't real. That ain't real. You're going to be right back in the bar with us. You're going to be throwing back, drinking right back with us. You're just going through something, a hard time, and you're just going through this church thing. That ain't going to last. Guess what they were trying to do? They were trying to take that word that was sown in my heart. I was a new believer, and I was going to church by myself. And when I went back to FedEx, they were telling me that my salvation wasn't real. They were trying to take that word. But God told me to keep coming. And I'm here 25 years later. Oh, glory be to his name. Let's look at verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time afterward. When affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 16 and 17 says this. I'm going to paraphrase it. You're in church now. You're trying to turn your life around. You're trying to live for God and understand what Christianity is all about. And because of that, the enemy's going to try to counter that. Now things are going to start to happen in your life, and maybe trouble is going to come. Maybe a situation is going to rise up that distract you. Maybe a situation is going to rise up that bring you pain or torment or some kind of discomfort. And God is telling you to still press your way to the things of God. But this thing that's coming, amen, because you don't have a lot of root. You don't have an anchor in this thing yet. You don't have a good footing now where you can handle bigger and greater storms. So the enemy is going to try to set up a certain set of circumstances because you're not a mature Christian, going to try to set up something to get you off course. And the Bible says right here, the devil can be strategic in doing that. And that's another way that the enemy comes and try to take that word through negative circumstances. And verse number 18 says this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enters in, and it chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That sometimes when we're trying to, you know, we're trying to live our dreams, and we want to just do something in the natural. We want to do something, and we got to work. We got to do something that's taking us away from church. We got to do something that's taking us away from our spiritual growth. We got to just do things that try to keep a certain image. And God is saying that's the cares of this world. You're trying to live for the world. You're trying to impress the world. You're trying to do the world. And the Bible says come out of the world. Amen. Come away from the world. I never forget my wife and I, we were at one time in our Christian walk. There was a big circle, just a circle we used to kind of run with. And they were buying these 22,000-foot homes and Mercedes and nice cars and nice houses. That's why I spoke in general terms. And the God be the glory. And we would just to try to be modest and try to be just as modest with our home and modest with our vehicles and modest with our work and modest with our money. Not that we couldn't do certain things, but we just wanted to be humble. We just wanted to be humble and do certain things to just stay in the spirit, just stay in the word of God. And that's why sometimes the world would put a pressure on you. The world would try to put a pressure on you to keep up with the Joneses. And the Bible says right here, don't let the devil do that to you. It said the deceitfulness of riches. We got to, you know, make a certain amount. We got to do certain things. The deceitfulness of riches. And then in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And I need you and I to stay on that good ground, that good soil, that good seed. We need to stay right there because you will be the one producing 30, 60, 100-fold in the name of Jesus. Just keep putting your seed in good soil. New creation is good soil, by the way. Amen. Our church is good soil, by the way. And wherever you're sowing your seed, you know, into your family, into your career, into your business, wherever you're sowing your seed, glory be to God. Allow God to let that be good soil that you can produce 30, 60, 100 fold. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Continue to bless us. Continue to grow us. We do believe it's time for us to increase. Now, God, if fear and doubt and unbelief or being double-minded is stopping us from moving forward, we pray tonight that you remove that from our lives, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. So, God, we thank you for increase in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll be in church on Sunday, 1482 Maple Avenue, 12:30 start time. If you're in this local area, bring somebody to church with you. Glory be to God. It's going to be a powerful worship service. Please, if you're not in this area, please sow a seed into New Creation Church. I just want to thank you, and Pastor, I want to thank you for those of you who sow on a regular basis. We do receive your giving, and we thank God that the work of the Lord can go forward because of your faithful giving. We thank God that New Creation Church is doing a great work in this New Jersey area, in the city of Hillside and the surrounding cities. And your monies, your 20s, your 50s, your 10s, and your 100s are helping us do the work of the Lord. And we thank you in advance. Even as you go to our website, nccmonline.org, we have a cash app, $NCCMChurch. And we have so many other ways that you can give electronically along with our P.O. Box number. All that information is on our webpage, and we thank God for you tonight. God bless you, love you, pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you in Jesus' name. God bless.